Welcome back to Live and Let Fly. It's the Live and Let Fly podcast, where we live or we let fly, and or.
And. We do both.
Yeah, and. We do both.
We specifically do both.
The timbre of your "it's the" just felt so much like it was going to go, "it's the end of the world."
Yes, we know it.
And that's the only part of that song that I know, because the rest of
you
it
don't
goes
know
so
feel
fast.
Fine. I feel fine. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But when he starts going,
doesn't it start with like 6 o'clock? Right.
I think so. Something about
pull up the
Chance
lyrics.
Fisher covered that song.
Oh dang!
But you didn't sing it, vocals? So you didn't need to worry
I
about
didn't
the
say
lyrics.
Shit. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so it says, that's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an aeroplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. Eye of the hurricane, listen to yourself churn. It's a lot of words.
It's dude. A yeah, lot. No, it's okay.
A lot of words.
Verse 2 does start with 6 o'clock.
Okay.
That song and We Didn't Start the Fire can go on a playlist together, and that's it. That's the playlist.
Yep.
Just yep. Those two
just
songs.
On repeat.
Yep. I mean, they just like have such similarities. Like, they're really mm-hmm. a specific
something,
vibe.
Something Cola Wars.
Like, man, I had a buddy in middle school who got me into that song.
The End of
which
the World.
We didn't start the fire. Okay. We didn't start the fire. Yeah,
but did we though?
And
it was
there was
burning.
Another one that is similar. I think it's Buffalo Springfield's. What's the name of that song? It's the Buffalo Spring. It's the only Buffalo Springfield song that everybody knows.
I'm not familiar with that name.
For what it's worth?
For what it's worth. I think that's a similar vibe. I think that's a...
Like, yeah, but it doesn't have the rapid-fire lyric delivery. But it does kind of, like, have the same...
It has, like, the topic jumping...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, social issue situation.
I wouldn't put that on the playlist.
I get what
well,
you're saying,
okay,
though.
I tried.
They're not stylistically similar enough, which is really all I was saying.
Thematically, though, you know?
Nope, not talking about theme.
Not
over
going
here.
That deep, Zach.
Just style. Keep it shallow,
that's all I do is go deep, dog.
It's style over substance on this playlist, man.
Somebody's overconfident.
I didn't even mean it that way, though. But, well, of course, Emily.
I'm on the call, bro. I'm
on the call. It is what it is.
We don't go there. Lol.
I didn't start the fire. It's been burning since Emily was churning.
I don't know where to take this banter now. How are you all doing this fine evening? Fine Thursday evening.
Okay, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I'm pretty all right out of 10.
Pretty all right out of 10. I like that scale.
I'm rolling around.
The scale 1 to 10, I'm pretty all right.
Yep.
I'm rolling around a 6.5 right now.
6.5. Heath, 1 to 10. Where you at?
I'm huffing copium real hard until tomorrow when, if I can just get through tomorrow and all the bullshit that it brings, I will then be on spring break for 60.
Oh, fuck yes. I believe in you. You can do it.
I'm going to see Slater Kinney tomorrow night.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
The Joy Theater.
Nice.
I love that place.
Are they back together? Like, did they
yeah,
ever
they got
break
back
up?
Oh, they did. They broke up for like a decade or more.
Which one's your favorite, Slater or Kenny?
Well, I've never been to that street corner of which they're named after, so I can't tell you that.
No, that's not the two members of the band, Slater and Kenny?
No,
and by the way,
I
which
actually
one's
thought
pink?
That for yeah, a
which one's
while.
Pink?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, which one's pink?
Is this a local band
Sid.
Or is this a known?
Sid is pink.
No. Is this a local band?
I don't know.
No, it's
no,
not
at all.
They're one of the like original Riot Grrrl rock bands of the Seattle scene.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
They think they're just around the same era as like Pearl Jam and all that.
You ever watched any Portlandia?
I'm aware of it.
Okay.
You need to watch that. That's great.
I believe she's the guitarist, right?
Yes.
The guitarist.
Yeah. Carrie Brownstein.
Carrie Brownstein is like half of the duo of Portlandia with Fred Armiston.
Okay.
She's the one that's not Fred Armisen.
She's the one that's not
Fred Armisen. I wouldn't make any assumptions,
Out of a scale from Carrie Brownstein to Fred Armisen, she's Carrie Brownstein.
I would argue she's much more than not Fred Armisen, but that is a true indicator.
Mm-hmm. Of all the statements you've made, that one was factual. Yeah, okay.
It was accurate. She's a great guitarist. Like the band is, they are a three-piece. With no bass player. And so Carrie Brownstein's style, she like turns up the bass on the equalizer, mm-hmm. and she does like a lot of stuff with the top string while still going off on the, you know, with on the higher register.
So I played a gig like that one time, a fake bass mm-hmm. as a guitar. It was at the Goat Roast out in it was out in the Delta. We played in a like on a lake. It was like the stage was like a converted like cotton bale trailer.
Okay.
It was the countryest thing that I've ever done, but it was with Brassfield and Bri. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine.
Like Brian Evans?
Yes. Yes.
Oh goodness. So what a lineup.
It was and Matt Herbert on the drums. And we played some blues. And so, I mean, it was, dude, like, you know, it wasn't like it was hard, right? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
The blues, I mean, that blues is where that style originated from, yeah. right? You know, right. like, because original blues artists would do that. You know, they would, all that bass, they would use their thumb to play bass on the top string and then play all the bluesy stuff with their fingers.
No, man, I'm Rooster Blues did that. Pretty sure the Black Keys invented that. It didn't exist.
It had to be the Black Keys.
No, I don't think so.
Black Keys ripped off Rooster Blues. Hot take.
Hot take.
No, but I mean, mostly, I obviously, between those two, I mean, I was just playing root notes and shit, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a little walking or whatever, right, for the blues. But I did play fake bass. It's kind of interesting. That was the only time I've ever really done that at a live thing.
I've played bass a couple times live, more than you would think, I think.
Like bass? Like keys
an actual bass.
Bass
guitar. Oh, okay. No, like an actual bass guitar. Oh. When we covered the Bends, when Chance Fisher covered mm-hmm. the Bends in its entirety on My Iron Lung, I played the bass and Sam played second guitar because that really needs two guitars.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't have a keyboard part, so I played bass on that. And then when I was playing with Megan Martinez and the Hell Yeah Brothers here, I also played
Hell
bass.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah. On a couple songs there, just because, you know.
Yeah.
And I find that I do enjoy playing bass, although it's very difficult on your fingers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, it hurts your fingers because the strings are so thick, you know, and you know, when you're pressing them down on the bridge, it just...
Got to get them calluses, really, baby.
Yeah,
well, dude, I don't have them, see.
Got to get them, baby.
The tickle in the ivories doesn't really build up the old calluses, huh?
No, not that.
Put your little
I think you ought to get some sandpaper and glue it to the ivories.
Just make build a full keyboard of sandpaper.
Yeah. That'll play good.
I will not do that.
really fine grit. It won't actually like tear up your fingers.
Don't you have like a really nice keyboard to do that on?
I do.
Yeah.
I do have like calluses on my like...
Hang on, somebody say
like on the top parts of my finger mm-hmm. where I do like slides and stuff,
oh,
you know, because I have busted that knuckle quite a few times doing like big mashes and slides and stuff like that. Yeah.
Do you like my sound effect? I did
I tracked it.
Thanks.
Speaking of gigs, Adam, I realized way too late that the band that y'all played with last weekend, that guitar, that's Papa Gross Funk's guitarist. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Junae Yamaguchi, I think is his name, right? Dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a bad motherfucker.
He's a bad dude. He's so funky, dude. And he's getting old, man.
Bro, yes.
I mean, all them Papa Gross dudes are. That's why Papa Gross don't play anymore.
I know, dude.
But, you know, like, you can understand why I was so excited by this particular lineup. Because Keiko is also old guard here.
Okay.
And then Donald is new, right?
Mm.
And he he's on the drums, and he is the one that put together this trio.
Yeah. Right?
He's like, I want to do like a funky organ trio, and you two are the ones to do it with.
Yeah.
And yeah, like they were, we were supposed to open for them, man.
Really? And
yeah, of course.
Because yes. To me, that like makes way more sense. Yes, I was like, wondering, like,
dude.
Okay, so like, man, we've right, had like, conversations about Cardboard Cowboy, some, but like,
yeah, let's give some context here because we're just jumping in to
check the Discord, by the way.
Yeah. So I played a band called Cardboard Cowboy. We had a gig last weekend with this trio of these musicians we're talking about, and I put like a video up of it while I was watching it because I was just like so enamored by it. It's like my total style of
yes.
organ grinder music, you right? know? And but yeah, like originally we were supposed to open for them, but Donald had to be somewhere.
Oh.
So they went first. And, you know, I'm not going to lie and say that some of the band was shook after watching them and then us having to go up and follow them.
Well, they were beastly, dude. I watched a little bit of their Maple Leaf set last night. Mm-hmm. I, you know, I always get their streams now.
Yeah, I actually posted that on the Discord just before we started. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry to derail.
Back in the day, Heath and I wore out Mr. Patterson's Hat, which is that funky ass Papa Gross album with mm-hmm. with my man on it.
And Stanky.
Do You Want It?
Do You Want It's a great song.
Yeah.
I love Papa Gross funk. Like, I was so glad I got to see him a few times.
Papa Gross is still around.
The members is he doing shit? They hadn't been playing as a full group.
No, no.
Okay.
No. But Papa Gross is a person.
Oh, John Gross. He's still, yeah.
Yeah.
And he still is doing random stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Man, we're just deep off in some
New Orleans funk, man.
Welcome to STF. New Orleans funk. It's a thing, man. Okay? Like, y'all knew what y'all were getting into.
Josh and Emily and John all have the same face I had when you guys were talking about Helldivers. So this is just,
we do it to each other, you know?
Yeah.
That's just how family works, baby. I mean.
Right.
I'm still here for you. I'm supporting you.
Whenever Zach, Adam, and Heath are talking about funk, the rest of us are going to take that opportunity to eat our mashed potatoes.
Like, there's just a clear divide between those that are actually like in a band versus those that have never been in a band. You know,
well, that's not true. Divide. I've been in a band.
Have you?
I didn't know. You have?
Okay.
A very long time ago, like for
what band?
What band? Was like in? Yeah.
High school doesn't count, but
yes, it does.
Wait, hang on.
Was it a marching band?
No. It was a group of friends that we were like, hey, let's do a show for this talent thing. That was the extent of my band.
Tell me more. I'm curious.
Yeah, I want to know.
What song did you do?
I don't want to.
It's too late. You should have brought it up then.
Come on.
Look, nobody's going to hear this.
Nobody's going to hear this.
Just between us friends, you know?
What position did you play on the music team?
Yeah.
Keys and vocals.
Nice. What did you play? What song did you play?
Was it Evanescence?
No! I'm sorry. I just like peaked so hard.
No, it was actually a Nightwish song.
Fair, no, I wasn't was, like shitting no on you, but like in high school, too hard. Maybe you would have done Evanescence.
No. It was Avenged Sevenfold.
Wow, okay. Okay. That's pretty.
Damn.
That's not like an easy thing to tackle.
I'm trying to remember the name of the actual song. It's Won't See You Tonight, Part One, I think, was the one we did.
I do not know that song.
How, but
you
how
sang
were you
the
received?
Vocals of Avenged Sevenfold?
Yeah.
Did you do it?
Did you
do it well?
Win the talent show?
Yeah, actually, we did really, really well. We did really well.
So why didn't you go forward?
Because
why don't you keep making music?
I broke up with the guy that I was in the group with.
That'll do it. Story. That'll do it.
Well, I met
and
Matthew.
You let him keep the band?
I met Matthew, so I got an upgrade because he plays better than Andrew did. So,
did you and Matthew start any musical projects, bands?
No, but they have a super group.
We did with our friend John. Not this John. It was a different John. Yeah, and
I'm not a musician.
We did some songs that we wrote.
Like what?
We wrote them.
I'm digging in.
No,
Emily. Like
I don't
what?
Wanna... It's too. It was, we did. We we wrote some stuff. And it yeah. was, we did
some,
that.
Some,
and that
was you the converted some diary musings into
maybe
some
shit. Get off my dick, Adam.
I'm trying to relate to you here, Emily. I was in high school bands too. You know what I mean? Like, I understand.
In high school.
Yeah, like I get it. I know where
that's
where
the
high
only
schoolers
reason
heads.
We're friends.
It is a big part why this group is the group that it is. I'm just saying, like our shared interest in music, enjoying it or playing it, you know, regardless, is, as we've said many times before, is a big part of what brought us together.
If
and
I
now I understand why you fit in so easily as you do. I didn't know this whole time that you too had a history of being a musician.
It's not. So my musical, my instrument talents are the most minimal. I play by ear. Like I can sight read, but it's slow going.
Yeah, that's okay. Like we don't all have to be me.
Fair. Thank goodness. Cause I ain't. It ain't to that at all.
And Josh and John, lest you feel left out, you're part of the musical conversation too, because I think that both of you have very good musical taste.
Josh has a guitar. Mm-hmm. There's a guitar mm-hmm. in the house, or
it's
there
right
was.
There. Yeah,
like lots of people
show
have
it.
Guitars.
Put it on Zoom.
Hey, yeah, I've got a guitar. I haven't played it in 4 years.
Put it on Zoom.
But I'm saying at one
better
point the man picked up and played the guitar. You know,
that's true. That's true.
It's in a case.
Oh, it's in
and
a case
everything.
And everything.
Oh. First time, probably in years.
It's like a little
zip.
Strat.
Oh,
copy,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
he goes,
wow.
That's Candy Apple Red right there. That's nice.
Hey, yep. What's that? Is that a little
funny.
Fender or a little Peavey?
It's a Squire.
Squire, yeah, okay.
Can you do that?
Nope.
Come on.
Nope.
But no, I looked up the, I was trying to figure out where it was made.
Mine is also a candy apple red.
Yeah.
Mine is a Korean made one, which I think is kind of different.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting.
Well,
your guitar
all
is still
time,
cool.
Still
Heath.
Learning new things about it.
Yeah. So I acquired that thing from the high school jazz band. Ooh. Because it was just sitting in the music room, it was never used.
And I just took it.
So you stole it?
No, I was.
It was unattended. You sound like one of my students yesterday. Who a girl came up to me and was like, "Somebody stole my candy," and she was like, "It was Gregory." And I look over, and Gregory's at the trash can throwing something away, and it's the wrapper of the candy. And he turns around, just big mouth chewing it, you know. And I was like,
"What the hell?
What you eating, Gregory?" He was like, "Nothing." It's like, well, that's obviously not true. What are you eating? Is it her candy? She was like, "Nah, this was on the floor." I was like, not a good argument.
Floor candy.
Naturally.
Not making it better, bud. Not making it better.
I was like,
so, no,
was
I
it
did
yours?
Not. I did not steal it. I was given a Yamaha, like a starter kit for high school, or I guess a Christmas present. And I was friends or was in multiple, I actually say friends because, you know, shouldn't, whatever, was on more friendly terms with the choir teacher and also guitar teacher, of which I was in both of those classes. And I was like, "Hey, I have a guitar that the band can, or that the jazz band can have as a backup. That's been sitting there for 2 years. Would you guys be willing, like, would you be willing to trade it?" He's like,
"Trade?
Yeah, sure. You can have it."
Nice.
And so I gave him the Yamaha and got that.
Because
and
it was
never
red.
Never touched it again.
No, it's a Adam.
A Yamaha guitar or a Yamaha boat or
a
Yamaha
an equivalent Yamaha electric guitar. I say equivalent because it is an electric guitar,
generator?
Not because of what it is.
They do be. They got their fingers in a lot of
they
pies.
Make everything.
Yamaha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No doubt.
Except for pies. Well. So they don't make pies.
All right, well,
let's play a game.
Play some Starfinder, yeah.
Okay.
I'm wearing my Starfinder shirt.
You are wearing a Starfinder shirt.
That's my contribution.
That's
I'm wearing my
Moon
Punch shirt.
It's a crazy coincidence.
I'm wearing my STF Legacy shirt.
Crazy coincidence that you'd be wearing your STF shirt here tonight and Emily'd be wearing her Starfinder shirt tonight when we're here as the STF Network to play Starfinder. It's like you guys knew. I was trying to surprise you, but y'all are like one step ahead.
Look, I'm gunning for that Moon Pie.
Talking about high school bands.
Yeah, gotta be quicker.
Too quick for you. Yeah, too quick.
I'm gunning for that Moon Pie sponsorship. So, like,
that
you
Moon
know,
Pie.
In this visual medium we perform in.
We got to start being more careful about who we're throwing sponsorships.
We
got a little called out on the Wendy's thing from the last one. You know, like we didn't know.
Okay, look, if Moon Pie is somehow just the worst, my bad.
I think it's we should err on the side of corporations probably being bad.
Probably be bad.
Yeah.
But that's the bit, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the bit, is that we know that they're soulless fucking corporations, and so we don't actually want...
just take their money. Yeah.
That's how it works.
Like, I think everybody knows that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm just kind of playing
along. Yeah.
I'm just playing along.
I'm not worried about...
I don't, in truth, advocate for any of the views espoused by Wendy's Corporation.
Really? That seems really surprising to me, Zach. Everything that I know about you seems like you would be on the side of corporate greed. Mm-hmm. I just don't track with your other opinions, but I'll believe you, I guess.
Listen, man, you know, I'm vast. I contain multitudes. All right. So, do y'all remember what happened last time on the Starfiender?
You whipped our ass.
With some Veracineas.
Yeah.
Rude.
But then we whipped their ass, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was that the same one where Adam
whipped all of our asses?
No.
Okay,
that was a while back. Yeah,
I whipped my own ass in self-retribution. This one. I set myself ablaze rather than the rest of you.
Well, thank goodness.
So anyway, you're in the middle of exploring this flotilla, right? Do y'all remember the kind of, some of the stuff about it, right? Like, it's...
all connected by this, like, organic type material.
Plant.
It's like blue vines. Uh-huh. And there's like, pods, plant pods that are being cultivated in these ships.
Right.
And most, like, very much so in the ship that we just came off of, which was a... Cult of the Devourer ship.
The War Razor.
The War Razor, yes. Yeah.
Then there was the Undine ship.
Yeah.
Unbreaking Wave.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See, I took some notes for once.
Yes. So those are the two that you have explored. You have survived. I mean, do you want to take a 10 minute?
I would love to.
Yeah. Personally. I mean, you could certainly get you a short rest in right here. That'd be with me.
I am kind of burning through some resolve, but that's okay. We are at the level now where it takes two resolve to stabilize. Not one.
Dude, when you cued that music and then Adam started talking, I was like, oh, is the scene going on? For a second. Just gave that like that whole like atmosphere
that
for a
Pavlovian
second.
Pavlovian response.
It was, dude, seriously. Am I missing something?
So I believe our plan was to just make the round.
Make the eight, as they say, huh?
Yeah, something like that. So I think the next one we go to is ship three, right?
Ship three, okay. Absolutely. You can certainly make your way.
I will like, kind of on the way, kind of reach out to Vincent and be like, are you all right? That's why we were both... a bit stunned by some of the smells and spores. Are you feeling all right?
Yeah, I had no control. I was compelled. Me, it's still fuzzy, but I'll be all right.
All right, that's good. That's good. That was a tough situation. But the rest of you, you all did great while we were taken out of the fight. Again, I'm just so proud of what we're becoming as a unit. Let's be careful and continue to be on our P's and Q's as we investigate this next ship.
Frankly, I didn't even know what happened, but I'm glad y'all got it through. So.
Okay, so you're able to easily dock on this ship here, and no problems there. Let's see. As you approach it, you see on the side of it, the ship's name is Stevedore 1.
Stevedore? Stevedore?
Yeah, like Stevedore. Is it a stevedore? Is that what
stevedore,
it is?
Stevedore, like a ship person, right? Like,
okay.
That's like a, yeah. A stevedore is...
That's a term I'm not familiar with, I'll be honest.
It's like, it's like a dock worker.
It's, yeah, oh, okay. It's a dock, like a cargo loader kind of person.
Yep. I learned something new.
Okay. Thank you, Thank The Wire, you, for teaching me what... Mm. No, The Wire taught me what stevedore is.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
There's a whole season that focuses on the stevedores
Oh, gotcha. So. Interesting. Okay.
I believe you.
I've seen it.
Can we tell what this construction, or what kind of ship
this
is?
Yes, absolutely. So, just from your investigation, I mean, y'all can give me a perception check if you want to kind of...
Does it matter what we roll, or are you just going to tell us what it is?
I mean, I'd like to see what you get.
I roll a 15.
Okay. Not a bad roll there, Heath. I like it.
31. I felt pretty good. Ooh, well, not that good. Okay. I got 25.
All right. So, Morgan, you can get this information, right? Compiler Enterprises appears to have built this. It's a heavy freighter. And it looks like it's designed for robotic life forms, like for Anasite cargo merchants.
Okay.
It's blocky silhouette and with a utilitarian interior.
What was the name of the ship manufacturer?
Compiler Enterprises.
I don't know that one. Let me just break out my Starship operations manual really quick. No, yeah. That's cool.
So anyway, okay. Nothing too much to glean from this.
Mm-hmm.
However, while you're exploring this vessel, you all received an encrypted transmission on your comm units.
Okay.
I decrypt it.
Yes. What are these strange symbols?
It looks like a set of demands. It's telling you to...
These symbols seem awfully demanding, even though I don't understand what they... I just get you a very demanding feel. Oh, no, I can't. That's why I asked you.
What are the demands?
The demands say to abandon your ship here, head to... And it gives you coordinates, Tia, that you can punch up and determine. The coordinates are... the Unbreaking Wave. It commands that you use the escape pods on that Hulk to and abandon your ship here or else.
To you, who sent it?
Do I have any indication?
Yeah, and how long was it sent? How long ago?
Oh, they just sent it. It's instantaneous.
Okay, all right.
Present day.
This has been sitting in our inboxes.
Well, I mean, you know,
this is actually where we ended up. You know,
when we opened it, yeah.
Right. So, is it from some robots? Who's it from, or do I not
know? I don't know. Would you like to try to trace it?
Yeah, boy.
Okay, I'll give you a computer check.
Alright. Okay. Dirty 30, baby.
Dirty nice. 30 with a DC nice. 26.
Oh, hey, nice.
Tia, you are able
to.
I literally rolled a 15. Like, I didn't even have to lie about
that's
it.
That's all
right?
I ask is you just tell me that you roll a 15. Okay. You are able to trace the source of this encrypted transmission back to the debris field's central asteroid.
Just the asteroid in the middle of this whole
the asteroid
area?
In the middle of the flotilla. Yep.
Yeah, so the message emanates from the asteroid in the center of this weird webby flotilla complex. I presume there's it's not a sentient rock. Surely there's somebody
that's
in
what
there.
I was gonna
well, we don't
say.
We don't know. Something.
I mean, it is Starfighter. It could totally be a sentient rock.
Right. So Captain is like, Hestia, is this an open communication? Are you able to respond?
I don't know. And I mean, wait, would I know that?
Is there a
reply? It's not button? An open communication. No, it was just a
I was going to send it a heart emoji.
A transmission, right? Like, it's... Literally just the transmission.
So, we go say hi to the rock?
I mean, they're threatening us. I think a polite conversation might be in order.
Maybe I don't know, see what it's cooking.
Certainly smarter trying to figure that out than going on to the next starships. So.
Rocks can't cook.
In this,
doesn't make any sense.
In this universe,
but Vincent cooks dwarves or rocks, right?
Vincent.
I cook food.
How dare you? Dwarves are rocks?
How dare you?
Dwarves ain't rocks.
Oh,
I thought you made it. Oh, Lord, I got some thinking to do.
Oh, my God. What the fuck?
We're completely losing our sense of self.
Check the ingredients on that mustache oil next time.
Yeah.
Might be going into your brain.
Mercury.
So, just smoothing all the wrinkles.
Smoothing out all the wrinkles.
This all came before we even boarded the ship, huh?
Or was or it
the,
as...
the message came
no,
as soon
the,
as
the
we
message
boarded
is instantaneous.
But
right, but like when we boarded the ship or before we...
While you were on the ship.
On ship number three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's nothing else to...
Nothing really to glean from the ship.
Are there like weird vegetation growths? On this ship as well?
Not so much, but this one appears to be the most recently abandoned, let's say. Okay.
Well, I don't see any particular reason to take that message too seriously. We don't know what for else. It seems foolish. Let's just keep on our original plan.
Really? I don't think so.
Think about it.
Okay, so we get an unknown transmission from this asteroid, okay, warning us. Am I right to you?
Well, more of a threat, but yes.
Yeah,
well, and also saying to leave
our
ship.
It's threatening us. So the thing is that if we continue, we don't know what kind of stockpiles they have on this asteroid. They could blow out all these
right, I understand that, Vincent, but... Certainly you don't propose that we abandon this ship and do what they say.
I think he's suggesting we take the fight.
I just want to remind you that you're in Ryojin's ship as well.
I would just like to know who's threatening us. I think that it seems to be more paramount than finding what's in these ships, to be honest. But... I'm on an island here. If everybody wants to outvote me, go right ahead. That's how I feel.
Let's hear what everybody has to say. Everybody has their turn to speak.
Quick question.
Yes, Morgan.
This is an Emily question because I'm having a moment. We're here to collect something for Ryojin, right?
We're just here to collect, like, parts that we've...
Yeah, you're
salvaging
you're here to scat, yeah. Yeah.
Didn't right. they say that there was something that we would know when we saw it?
Yes.
But didn't say what it was.
Very vague as fuck, yeah.
I think maybe this might be it.
It's a sentient rock that somehow has developed communication through electronics.
Is that correct, Zach, that there's a particular thing that we're supposed to... Yeah, okay. I didn't think so. I think the no, if we saw it, just means like...
Like,
what,
if it looks like interesting tech that stands out.
More like Hestia will know it than anybody.
Yeah. Right. Okay, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah, so we're just here to salvage these ships, and, like, now we get some kind of message from the inside of an asteroid. I mean, it simultaneously seems, like, ominous, but also, like, this might be some dumbass goblins, like, playing themselves up to be bigger than they are.
Very likely.
Like, here's where Roland's position is on it, is that, like, we're not gonna go dock the ship on
the asteroid.
No, we will do that eventually. What we're not going to do is what they asked us to do and go dock the ship on the Undying Wave, get off of Ryojin's ship, leave it, and get on some pods, vegetable pods.
And strand ourselves out.
We're not doing that. Yeah. So, like, if we're not doing that, then we're already at odds with whoever
said that. We can talk about it,
that.
But essentially we're all just saying fuck them.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah, like, if we're not doing that, then it doesn't really matter if we... What we
go
do.
To the ships before the rock.
Yeah, and Hestia will keep an eye on, like, as soon as any messages come in, I'll let you know. And obviously, would like any if we get any further messages or indicators that I can use to try to piece together any more information about these people, I would happily do that. But we're certainly not abandoning someone else's ship to strand ourselves because we got an email. You know?
And I'm also kind of just like curious to see if they'll show themselves a little bit more of what they are. We'll eventually go investigate that rock, but we might learn something more about what's on that rock by investigating the surrounding ship.
Well, I guess that makes sense. They might show their hand. So.
Right. Well, and we might get more messages from them. Like, the more.
Right.
If there's one ship in particular that they're trying to safeguard something, like, if they notice we're going in a circle, the closer we get to that ship, they might get more worried, right?
Maybe.
And send more and more aggressive threats. And then we know we're on the right path.
And have more and more aggressive combatants to fight us.
Sure.
They're not going to just get stronger in level just because we ignore them.
Metagaming? They might.
Like, shut up, Zach. Explain to me how that would happen, Josh.
Well, yeah.
Well, see, so this is a game of space. This is a game of sci-fi and magic.
So you think that they're just like charging up DBZ style, and the longer we wait, the
you more never know. Absolutely. You never know. There might be some type of weird plant generation ray that would cause them to become bigger, badder, more evil, or
more evil.
I don't know what there is, but I do know that as soon as Morgan is in a space of the ship, they would be using detect magic. Just FYI, they're just kind of casting that constantly.
Okay,
just all around the place because we don't know what we're into.
Here's me as a player. Here's my take on it. The way to find stuff out about them is to go see them.
That's what I'm. Yes. That's
instead of skirting around the place and kind of bebopping around and. We got a message saying that there's a big bad here, or some type of bad, or some type of something that doesn't want us here, but wants to leave. You know, wants to collect the ship for the flotilla. Why not just go?
Have we found anything in these three ships already that would be salvageable for
Ryojin's purposes?
Yeah.
No, I would have pointed it out.
Okay. I was curious about that. I mean, these are like whole ships we're investigating.
None of them have anything substantial beyond like the normal kind of tech that, you know,
is already widely available.
Right.
And if they're sending shit through an encrypted channel, they don't want us to know that they're there. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking there might be some tech there.
I'm certainly
not opposed to going to the asteroid. We definitely will do that. As I said, my initial thoughts were just to gather information before going directly to them, but, you know, my new lease on life has been to not run from things, so if we want to just go head on, we can do that as well. Hestia and Morgan, what do you think?
Well, now I'm torn. You both make such good arguments. There isn't a part of me who thinks ripping the Band-Aid off, so to speak, maybe could avoid further complications.
I'm telling you, Tia, just think about it. Plant ray, right? Just what Getty was saying. Plant ray. It could be something worse than that.
Who is that? A friend of yours? Plottery?
Plant ray, damn it.
I don't know about a plant ray. I don't know what all that is. But I do know that it may be better to deal with the situation at hand, and then we will have an opportunity to go and collect whatever we need from the rest of the ships. I think, Captain, it may be advisable for us to go ahead and make our presence known. More,
I already know about us.
More physically.
Oh, yep.
And as Tia said, rip the Band-Aid off.
That is a majority. Gadrick set course for the asteroid, I suppose.
Already on it.
Okay. You make your way to the asteroid.
So what's the difference between 7 and 8? Light side and dark side?
Yes.
Okay.
Or we'll get there. We'll get there.
Well, I might.
You land. Let's say you land on 7 here. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
for those listening, 7 and 8 are the markers of the asteroid.
Right, there's
the
a line. Yes. It's sort of akin to a mountain ridge through the middle of the asteroid, and one side is light and one side is shrouded in shadow, so to speak.
There was, I guess, no real way to remove these from the...
Well, they've been useful because that's been what we've been telling you where we're going, you know?
Okay. So, you land on the asteroid. It is a barren asteroid, okay? I mean, less than a mile in diameter, right? It's pretty small. But y'all are looking around, and y'all are looking around, and you can all give me perception checks if you'd like to see if you can't
spot anything. Scan it on the way in.
Yeah, no shit.
We'll have to give me the text on scan, because I don't have a fucking clue what you can do with that in this context.
37.
37?
Rolled a 19.
Okay. Well, you can save the text on scan there, Josh, because there's not a whole lot that you'll get that I'm not fixing to give Emily here. So, Morgan looks around, and you spot on the surface of the rock what looks to be a little hatch that looks constructed. Okay?
It's not a natural occurring hatch?
It's not a naturally occurring hatch on this asteroid.
This looks like a hinge that was made.
I think that this has been made by someone. I don't think that this is naturally occurring hatch at all, Captain.
This isn't an asteroid hatch?
No, it's not. Captain, as commonplace as those are.
It's not ruled out the possibility.
I'm seeing some numbers. It's 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. What do you think that means?
I told you to stop huffing your mustache.
That's a Fibonacci sequence. Okay.
I bet you it's the hatch's serial number. That's got to be it.
It's got to be it. Yeah. Be it.
All right.
That makes sense.
We're not alone on this asteroid. Oh my God. We all know it.
I'm sure as hell ain't lost either.
Question, Zach.
Yeah.
Since we are on an asteroid, which is made of stone, I have stone cunning.
It's not an asteroid hatch.
If it was, if it was a natural
stone cunning,
you don't know about the best ability for dwarves in the whole game.
Absolute best, yeah. Hold up, dude. I gotta actually pull up the whole thing.
They get a bonus to perception.
I will say,
unusual. It says to unusual stonework such as traps or hidden doors located in stone walls or floors. They receive a check to notice each features such features whenever they pass within 10 feet of them, whether or not they are actively looking.
Well, then you certainly could have noticed the hatch as well.
Okay.
I don't know what to give you beyond that. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
It's not a secret.
You notice that this unbroken plane of stone, there's one little section that's not
this
actually
right here,
stone.
Is it normal stone?
Is it normal stone? What are you talking about?
It might be naturally occurring, but it's not stone.
So maybe on the inside, maybe it's got stone or architecture. We don't know. So maybe,
there's only one way to find out.
We'll find out. We will find out.
Vincent, as the local stone expert,
I used to be an asteroid hopper. All right, don't you fucking patronize me? All right, Roy.
I'm not.
Is anybody going to check the hatch?
I'm asking Vincent too right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What do I need to roll for?
Just open the hatch, man.
Oh, okay.
Roll a hatch. Bloody hatch.
You open the bloody hatch. And when you do, you see a hole. And the hole...
Made of stone?
it's not what a hole is.
It leads into a corridor. You can see. But however, it's only large enough for like a tiny creature to fit through.
Got it. You're up.
Yes,
it's time for you to use that squeezing
ability.
You need to bury it through this hole.
Pop out your cans of beans. I'll hold on to them.
Guys, I put on like an extra 3 pounds. I don't
I don't know. Squeeze
it's all in the contents of your cheeks, or I'll just beans. Get rid of them all.
Yeah, Gadrick spits out 3 pounds of beans.
Three whole bulk.
Yeah, like I take them and pounds. Put them in Mantis's
it's
satchel.
It's like 3 number 10 cans of beans, mm-hmm. You know, like the industry size.
It's like, yeah, but like the army cafeteria yeah. cans of beans.
Yeah.
Damn. This is more like 30 pounds.
All right, Gadrick, so you can certainly squeeze into this tiny hatch.
Gadrick, be careful if you see any sign of danger. Scramble out of there immediately, and we'll figure it out together. Don't try to take it all on yourself.
Quick question, yeah, we'll before do. He goes, do we have any kind of, like, rope? I mean...
We all think we do, but I guarantee if we're going to go through and check our inventories...
I swear to God, we had rope at the... The ranch.
At the ranch.
Like steel
I think we left it there.
Something.
I think okay. we've done this before.
Well, no, that's where this fucking here we go comes from is because right. we did this exact thing at the ranch. I swore I had steel cable, and then we used it very importantly to get out of a plot point, and then we could never find any steel cable yeah. on anybody's inventory.
Okay. I don't have any.
All right, so no, we don't have any rope.
Good luck.
Braving the unknown, Gadrick alone, squeezing
not
through the hatch.
Not squeezing, technically speaking.
Why not?
Because I have Scurry, which gives me the compression
that's right.
feature.
Oh, that's right. So you're compression. So, you
know, I can move through an area as small as gotcha. 1/4 of my space of a small creature without squeezing, or 1/8 of its size while squeezing. So Gadrick's moving like normal.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you move like normal, braving the unknown into the hatch. And you go down a corridor, right? Like that, like I said, this is a corridor. It's sized for tiny creatures. It's about 150 feet long that you're just moving down this corridor. And as you head out into the corridor, or out of it, it leads to this expansive-looking biolab. It's about 7-foot clearing for the ceilings, okay? But still, you know, not very high. And as again, you see this biolab, and the sort of centerpiece of this room is what looks to be some sort of half-finished biomechanical engine.
Before you go any further, Gadrick turns mostly invisible.
Okay.
With that cloak with your ghosts?
Yeah. Mm, yeah. All right.
Cloak, like the movie
the
Predator.
Cloaking field.
So, yeah. You've got to roll a stealth check, I believe. That I've.
Because
there are some creatures in here, and I'm fixing to tell you about them.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to go ahead and clarify that.
I understand,
that,
yeah.
In the tunnel.
And 150 feet of movement, I think you've got plenty of time to be... Gadrick would certainly be trying to be sneaky here.
The text says, the cloaking field does not make you invisible, but it does make it easier to sneak around. Activating it is a move action. Okay. While it's active, you can use stealth to hide, even while being directly observed and with no place to hide.
Okay, so you use stealth to hide, so roll me a...
Well, there is one more important question. Yeah. So if he can hear those creatures, he could come up and then get very still... And he would get a plus 10.
If you remain perfectly still for at least one round, so 6 seconds, you gain a plus 10 to stealth checks, which doesn't stack with invisibility until you move. Your cloaking field lasts for up to 10 rounds before it becomes inactive, so it lasts for a minute.
Okay.
While inactive, the cloaking field recharges automatically the rate of one round of cloaking per minute, so it takes 10 minutes to fully recharge. So I've got a minute of... stuff to do. So the first thing, like, as soon as he gets up to the end, like, to the point that he thinks, okay, they might be able to see me, or I can see their, Gadrick can see their heads,
mm-hmm.
he would just freeze and take that plus 10.
Sure. Go ahead and roll me a stealth check, plus 10.
That is a 13 on the die. 4.
Yes.
23 plus 18.
Okay.
So 41. 41.
Very nice. All right, so Gadrick, when you stop to observe these creatures, right, what you see are, 6 or 7 tiny plant-like humanoids.
Oh my god.
Do you,
I think I know what these are.
Do you know what they are?
Are they the
they're grown, well, they're the Starfinder the version grown, of Leshies.
Are they Gorons? That's it.
No. I don't think it's that. They are like Leshies, but they're called something else in Starfinder. What are they called?
All right, so you see several of these.
Oh, yeah.
Them, yeah. I can't remember what the hell they're called.
Dandelion heads.
What do you see? Describe these creatures.
I see a creature that has a very, I guess, onion-like head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With sprouting different, the different ones have sprouting different flowers out of the top of them. They have what looks like artichoke leaves as a. What's the thing goes around a neck that's like you'd see old ancient
collar or ancient, cowl. But,
the Raxolites.
That's Raxolites. There we go.
I have a copy of the Starfinder 4 versus the Hardlight Harlequin, and one of the pregens is a Raxolite.
I remember that now.
That's right.
But then they also have what look to be some type of technological like tentacles out of their back, or maybe from a little backpack.
They got like Doc Octopus looking feely.
One of them has a needle on
it, but little.
Yeah,
but tiny.
And like to give the sell the tininess, the pistol looks like a very large firearm.
Yeah,
it looks like a big, heavy two-handed like machine gun.
Tiny little laser pistol. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, the head of the thing looks like a gourd. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Like very like much reminiscent kind of root vegetable. You know, right?
With a flat, a big like sunflower,
big old like. Carrot flower or some crap.
There's a couple. Yeah. You said there's like two of them in here because one's got. Yeah, did we already say that one's got?
There are six who all kind of have a, you know, the look of researchers, and then there is one who you know appears to be the leader. Let's say.
I can't wait for Josh to role play this conversation.
What conversation?
So, Josh.
So.
Said I'm stealth, baby.
do you want to roll like a life science or anything to know more about these creatures? I am not
trained in life science, so I don't know that I can.
Can't do it.
Okay.
I wish I was down there so bad.
As I said, they are working on this engine. You know, that's taken up most of the room. However, a couple of them are watching monitors, and you can see that they're, you know, watching sort of the surface of the asteroid. And every now and then, one glances down the tunnel and sees nothing and goes back to looking at the cameras.
Are they saying anything? Are there words on the screens? Is there anything I can glean from what they're working on or the nature of it?
They're all simultaneously saying, it must be nothing.
Must have been the wind.
The ones who are working on the engine are discussing. Listen, I'm not a mechanically minded individual, so sure. I can't make up bullshit technobabble to RP that they're saying, okay?
That's
I'm not
going
to do it. I just won't.
Literally unplayable, Zach.
I just won't do it.
Shut it
down.
You
can't make me.
Nobody was, but now I don't want to do it.
I love when Zach does that thing where he digs his heels in like when nobody asked him to do something.
Yeah, like he hits a wall. He doesn't know how to answer a question. He's like, you know what? I am not trained for this. This is outside my pay grade, and you can't ask me to do this. I won't do it.
This is outside the scope of this adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's outside the scope of this adventure, what the Raxolites are saying. Sorry.
It's all right. The people appreciate that about you, Zach.
You probably don't speak Raxolite anyways.
No. Well, they might be speaking common. Who knows? Raxolite? I do not.
Yeah. Zach's like, shoo. Yeah, they're speaking.
Easy, dude. Easy game.
Yeah, a bunch of gibberish.
Populated.
Yeah. Do I see any other exits? Any other, like, any? Is this the only way in and out of this place?
If there are other exits, then it's outside the scope of this adventure because there are none identified in the text.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of ways to like get the rest of the party involved. Or,
correct.
You know,
I understand exactly what you want to do. However, I'm afraid that you do not see any other.
You're gonna have to deal with this solo.
Any other way to handle it?
See what you got.
Oh Lord!
Come on, Gaddy.
Man,
do this. You could do this. Man.
I mean, do you?
I'm just
because you can like get away if it goes south.
I think. Very easily. I think actually, what Gadrick's gonna do.
Assassin's
Creed him. No, he's gonna scurry back up the hatch.
Take him out.
And relay back to the party like, hey, this is what he, you know, saw some little tiny little plant fellers down there. They had little gourd heads, pretty flowers sprouting out the top, kind of artichoke collar necks. But they were real, real small. Like tiny, tiny small.
What were they doing down there?
Working on some type of engine or something.
Well,
I mean, that seems to me like a thing that
yeah,
it jumps out to me as a thing to get.
That's our payday.
But
Vincent, all of you, how are we going to deal with this? Only you can go down there.
Yeah, we can't get it.
Are you sure you weren't suffering from, like, you know, lack of oxygen down there?
No, I'm positive.
If I believe root people just happen to be in the middle of an asteroid, you
based
sure
on his
it?
Description.
Look, if dwarves can be made of stone, them little guys can be made of plant.
I love the
everything that we've seen.
You just make assumptions about all dwarves being made from earth. Okay. All right. I see. Oh, I see.
Well, I don't think it's that far of a stretch to see that there are those in touch with plant life involved in this scheme. And he just like gestures around at all of the vines are attaching their ships.
Hey, okay.
You do not see the space.
Well, this does not exist in a vacuum. So
can
you're
we
right.
do a?
You're
right.
Okay. We're literally in a vacuum.
To ya. Trying to make a point
I think
here.
Emily
and I'm
has
feeling
an actual
it.
Question.
I don't need your. Suggestion.
Based on the description, can we do a life science check to see what these creatures are?
Yes, you certainly can, Morgan.
Morgan may not be the only one. I only have a +8 to it.
Anybody got a decent life science?
Hell no.
Blind spot in the group. Oh, okay.
Plus 9.
You please roll, because I only got a 14.
Okay. Still haven't gotten my dice.
Oh, baby.
Okay, it's going to be one higher than whatever rolls. 15 total.
15 total.
Oh, drop
well,
15s.
You know they're Raxalites.
That's what we got.
Cool, so they have a name. That's
okay,
that's
question.
Great.
Based off of knowing that they're Raxalites, could I do a culture check to learn something about them?
I will allow it because I'm not trying to, you know, shut you out here.
That is a 22.
Okay. So, as far as Raxalite culture, Morgan, you know that biotechnology pretty much defines their entire lives, right? From the composition of their bodies to the starships and flying cities that many of them call home. What their tiny bodies lack in physical strength, they make up for in ingenuity and a cultural ethos of cooperation.
Okay.
So for a lot of them, their intellectual curiosity drives them to explore and learn all they can, both to achieve personal excellence and to help their home world of Raxal reach new heights of prosperity. For others, changes come all too fast, and each Raxalite must find their own balance between keeping to traditions and broadening their horizons. As you pointed out, their little Doc Ock tentacles, right? They're called LFANs, or L-F-A-Ns, or Lifting Floret Activation Network. It's
cool.
A type of biotech augmentation that looks like a cluster of artificial prehensile vines attached to their brain system. This L-fan is as dexterous and strong as a human hand, and the vines can extend and retract, which is allow them to use one-handed items as if they were medium creatures with a reach of 5 feet.
Ah, so they're like manipulators. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
like mechanics manipulator arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hestia is fascinating.
Yeah.
Immediately
imagine
upon
they'd be right
so
up your alley.
Exist.
Also,
wow.
Also a big fan of the at the LFAN, you know?
Yeah.
The abbreviation game over here.
Yeah, you would know that the LFAN implants are now standard practice for every Raxalite sprout. I mean, the vast majority of them before First Contact have had LFANs installed, but now it's just a way of their life, right? They do lack some of the plant immunities that most of them would have, you know? Let's see more about their society. They view thriving ecosystems as a model for society. Every living creature and natural feature has its place. Change is inevitable and not to be feared so long as it's akin to the natural evolution of biomes as seeds spread and currents shift, rather than the disruption and devastation that invasive species can bring. Hmm. So these kinds of questions, you know, which one is more than the other, are the sort of philosophical debates that they like to engage in.
So maybe we can talk to... Maybe they sent the text as just a general scare tactic.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, this has got to be some sort of like big experiment that they're conducting, you know.
Or they're creating their own biome here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I will say that in addition to the information I've given you on culture, another point is that while many Raxalites enjoy a good debate, their cultures place a heavy emphasis on community and cooperation. They don't create rancorous divisions amongst themselves. They all have a duty to their communities to share their knowledge and ideas.
And this is all information that is being relayed to the group, right? Like, yeah. We're all learning this at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. This is what Morgan would know about Raxalites, I guess, mm-hmm. Based on that
culture.
That culture.
Maybe we can try talking to them. Maybe they don't necessarily want to do harm to anyone.
Man, I don't want to hurt them. They're kind of cute.
Did you see any way for us to get in?
No. Seemed I got a feeling it was outside of the scope of our adventure.
Did it seem like that they were aware of our presence in any way?
Well, there was one that kept looking at the tunnel. I mean, I was invisible, so they didn't see me, but... I don't know, Zach. Why were
they looking at the tunnel?
Were they from the screens that they saw? Were they aware that there was a group of people hanging around outside the hatch?
Yes. Ah.
Was that a yes? I didn't.
That was a yes.
Okay. Oh, I didn't hear. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I think you got zoomed in.
I thought you were nah, my lips are sealed, sir. You didn't figure this out.
He said that. Yeah. He did say that.
I saw him say what I thought was yes, yeah. But I just wanted to make sure.
Can you send a message to them? They sent one to us.
Well, it was tried one way before. Yeah.
From my understanding.
You're saying there's a security camera here, right? Right?
Somewhere.
They didn't see us. And so Roland just starts waving his hand. He takes his pistol off the side of his hip and places it down on the ground, just kind of showing, like, you know, arms up, like, just waving, and does the movement to,
try and
you know,
sign
in all directions, because he doesn't know where the camera's at.
All right. I mean...
Just for poops and giggles.
Call that a diplomacy check, maybe?
Okay.
Like, sign language?
Yeah.
Yeah, Roland. No, yeah. All right, here we go. Pretty decent roll. That's a 29.
Okay, so you are floating around. You drop your weapons, right? You know you're gesturing that you'd want to talk, but not really sure where you're supposed to be looking. You know, but mm-hmm. eventually, these Raxalites come popping out of the hatch. Okay, with their sidearms, which, you know, look like massive, as Josh said, like massive rifles, being held up by their LFANs, trained on you. You know, they don't look mean, right? But they do look apprehensive. And
when they come out, Roland will be like, can you speak common? Do you understand common?
And the sort of leader of the Raxalites speaks up and says,
Interloper! What do you want? Why have you come here? Abandon your ship now!
Right, right. Before we get to that, I just want to introduce myself and my crew. My name is Captain Roland Monsgeladus, and this is my crew. We are not trying to interfere with whatever you have going on here, but we just happened to cross your little asteroid here, and we're just curious. This is Hestia, and she's always in. She's very active in the mechanics community online. And it's always looking for new and interesting
friends. Yes,
friends. Yes, thank you, Hestia. I was going to say mechanical innovations, but I think I meant friends. Yes,
friends. No los dos.
Right. We come in peace, and we truly just want to speak to you.
Hello, how are you? Hi, I'm Morgan.
The lead Raxalite looks to the others, you know, and they all look around and they look back to you, kind of narrow their eyes a little bit, and y'all give me another diplomacy check.
Can I aid?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Please. I auto aid.
Okay.
I'm going to.
I don't auto aid, but I'd like to attempt.
I believe in you.
One from you, Emily.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a 15. So yeah, I aid.
Great. So that takes me to a 29.
Okay. All right. So the lead Raxalite looks around, gives the gesture with one of the elf hands for them to all lower their weapons. She puts her weapon away. She says,
"All right, you seem trustworthy. I'm Taraxa."
And I'm charmed.
Yes, a pleasure.
We're a group of scientists and eco-warriors. And we're just so sick and tired of all of these polluting vehicles coming to and from Absalom Station. So we've decided that we're going to take them over, start this flotilla while we work on... This new biomechanical engine. It's going to be cleaner burning than anything that the Pact World has ever seen.
Too fucking right.
And an admirable goal, of course. I'm sorry I cracked up. I was just like, they want to steal all the cars in the world, you know?
For the power.
Well, they're salvaging parts to help construct
to build
this biomechanical.
The
prototype. And also getting, you know, a ship off of the galactic highway, yeah,
right. Reduce the carbon footprint.
So yes,
Josh. All I can think of is like the Cutie King from Adventure Time.
Oh my god! Yes.
Oh my god!
Sorry,
but these ships were abandoned, right?
We thought they were.
No, they're vicious murderers. They killed 22 people.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Like, no, we threatened them, and our cause is just, and therefore they did the right thing and left their ships. We gave them escape pods, the same that we offered you.
Wow.
So what now? Are we mulch or something if we don't leave?
Is there any way we can help maybe with this this engine? It sounds...
I would be more than eager to help in any mechanical way. I am...
Very cooperative.
I don't mean not to be humble, but...
I need to pause for a second here and make sure that I'm understanding the situation properly, because I think we're being hoodwinked by their cuteness. If I'm understanding Zach correctly, they have attacked and taken hostage what looks to be five full ships, chased the people inhabitants of those ships out of their ship, and threatened them and us with death if we don't comply with these.
So here's my take on it. They have said they did do this or else. They didn't board their ships and hold them hostage and force them off into those escape pods.
Do you think that the Cult of the Devourer left their ship because they believed in the justice of their cause?
Well, what message did we get? the first message we got wasn't about the justice of their cause. It was
a threat.
They said that they left because the cause. They did the right thing, and our cause is just.
I
and
just,
they did the
I right thing. So they believe that. You can roll a sense motive check on that if you'd like to.
That's 26.
26. You can tell that nobody believed in anybody's just cause. They sent the same threatening messages to everybody and just happened to get six of them who decided to deuce out.
Yeah, of the respective organizations each of these ships came from happened to be the ship full of, like, the least experienced, most cowardly members of that group.
If that helps you stomach it, that's the facts, brother. Yeah. That's the facts. Yeah. Okay.
They should not have put a cult of the devourer ship.
That is
in
misleading.
This situation.
Yeah.
Welp, I don't know what to tell you. Take it up with the motherfucker who wrote the thing, because it's just how it is.
But I like the idea, the whole like spider web to catch all these travelers. You know, it is pretty cool. You know.
So then we are aware that like they are bluffing their threat.
They're not right? hiding a bunch of bodies, yeah. right?
Correct.
All right, so Roland's got to go into fucking Roland mode and be like, all right, let's stop playing games. You're not going to do anything if we stay. We're not trying to disrupt whatever it is that you're doing here. Although I would suggest that you stop threatening ships because that is highly illegal. You know, we're not the police. In fact, we shouldn't even be here because we were told not to leave.
Yeah, Hestia's
so
side
we're not
going to
make a big deal about being... Yeah.
As soon as you like, say illegal, it's like,
We're not going to make a big deal about our presence here, is what I'm saying. So you're safe as far as that goes. But honestly, this... While I am all for your goals to find more eco-friendly ways of travel, certainly there are grants for this. That you could do this in a controlled environment without having to steal starships.
What do you mean?
We could probably help you.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yes. There's
have you ever heard of the Xeno Wardens? I think they would be eager to take up this.
But the Xeno Wardens, they travel around in ships too. That's the problem.
They have
but if those ships,
yeah, but they have
were
living
better
ships.
Equipped, mm-hmm. yes. then they would not be as pollutant.
Not to mention, there are any number of prestigious universities across multiple systems that would love to house and promote work of this caliber.
Absolutely.
Sundaratu University, for example.
Yeah, go to Gorin Prime. I'm sure they'll be happy to see you.
I know little of Raxalites, but I do know that community is important. And I think that you could create a whole new community of eco-friendly... goal-minded people. This is a noble cause that you're doing. And you're out here hiding in the shadows of the Armada. And I would hate for your work here to be cast aside due to it being overshadowed by the criminal activity that you're participating in.
Yes, and I would hate if some of your messages went out to someone much more formidable and they... did not, in fact, leave their ships and came and hurt you. Think of what if you sent this message out to a Hell Knight Citadel ship. What chance do you stand?
I mean, yes, what if... We are here standing upon your asteroid right now. Now, you're lucky that we're a diplomatic bunch and not very violence-hungry, but it could be... You've been fortunate that no one has disregarded your... threatening message and come and obliterated you here. You are exposed.
They would have nuked this wrong for sure.
I've got to be honest, interloper. You make a compelling point.
Oh, I love your voices, Zach.
Well, you guys should just get out of here and take your prototype with you and seek somewhere more amenable to your research. There are many, many places to do this.
Like where?
And Tia, roll an engineering or physical science check.
Does it involve the engine? Is it to understand anything about the engine? No. I only ask because of my theme, which reduces the DC, of engineering checks to identify creatures or technology by 5.
Oh, well, no. That wouldn't be relevant. But engineering or physical science would be fine.
Okay. Engineering, 28.
28?
Yes.
So, Tia, a flash of inspiration hits you, and you realize that Ryojin may be interested in...
Certainly interested in this
engine.
Yeah, right.
You know, and if you...
Yeah, okay, I got it.
Introduce them in some
right.
way.
I'm with you. So yeah, Tia, that you can see the flash of inspiration, her eyes get even bigger, and says, actually, we may be fortunately met. We are, the only reason we're here is on behalf of a friend of ours who's looking for above normal level technology. She is a reputable mechanic, and... If you don't want to go so far or to such a large establishment as a Sunduratu Academy or University or something like that, you could work with our friend Ryojin, who would probably gladly take a look at your prototype and try and improve on it or help you with it.
You hear all of them go...
It's like a group of Pikmin.
Of course.
Every one of them just got poked in the tummy like a Pillsbury doughboy.
Just a bunch of Pillsburys.
The offer sounds enticing, interlopers, but awfully convenient.
So I just need one more diplomacy check.
Auto aid.
Let's do this.
I aid as long as I don't roll a natural one. And I got you.
Did you roll a natural one?
No, I'm good.
All right, 13. So that's going to take it to filthy 40.
Ooh. Okay, with the filthy 40, the Raxalites all, you know, in harmony.
Very well. We accept your offer, interloper. Please get us in touch with this Ryojin.
And Roland, you see, so... Part of why I got a 40 is because of my sidereal influence. So you see, as Roland is talking to the Raxalites, that rather, you know, this isn't like the outward flames of his Solarian, like, combat stuff, but you see, like, his eyes start to get, like, more purple, like, brilliantly purple. And there's almost, you can almost see, like, flames dancing in his pupil, in his eyes and his iris. But you're not sure if that's what it is, but that's kind of as he's elevated in this with this sidereal influence, and he extends his paw, and like the fur on his paw is pulsing with energy as he reaches out to shake the Raxalites Eldians.
I like it. You can take a dirty 30 for that. Interesting RP there. Okay,
that puts me at 4.
Oh, you're at 4?
I don't know. I don't know what the max is.
All right. I'm capping you, man. I'm capping you. Any more, and you got to give them to somebody else, I guess. Okay. All right, fair enough. So, yeah. Taraxa shakes your hand. All that's left is to contact Ryojin and try to get her on board with this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Beep, boop, boop, beep.
Okay. So you want to call up Ryojin on the yeah, comm? I mean, you're close enough.
I think Hestia should handle this call. So,
sure.
Okay.
Beep, beep, boop, boop.
All right, Tia. You call Ryojin. She answers. You know, neutral expression on her face. Yes. Do you have any luck?
Yes, my good friend Ryojin. I did have some luck. We met some charming little fellows. Raxalites, if you are familiar with these people, they are working on a sort of prototype a biotechnical engine, or technological engine, and we thought you would be interested and that they could use the help working on it.
Biotechnical engine, you say?
Yes. They're very dedicated to the cause of reducing the amount of harmful waste and byproducts of traditional ship engines.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I agree.
So what do you want me to do about it?
Well, I thought maybe they could come and meet you and bring the prototype. And you might be interested in helping them brainstorm or work on it.
Telepathic message you get from Morgan.
Okay, Yoda.
She said she wanted something. When you knew it, we'd see it. And we've seen it. This is what we want to bring her.
Trust me. I think you will be interested. I'm maybe not quite the mechanic that you are, but it definitely catches my eye. I think there's potential here.
Okay. I need you to roll a diplomacy check.
While he's making the video call, Roland just pokes his head into the camera and says, "That cause is just," and then moves his head back out.
That that's counts as my, an that, aid, yeah.
It's yeah, that's,
that's just
aid.
Enough. The bare minimum. Let's go.
But I also, because I'm a Valaka, get to add to that aid because of my cooperative nature as a Valaka.
Okay.
So when I aid, if I'm successful, I get to add +2 to my check to try to aid.
Nice.
Well, then you just guarantee you auto aid?
That's correct.
Yes. Okay, cool.
So you then, get 2 aids.
Okay. 2 will take it to a 29. I rolled 16 on the die, and I'm pretty good at diplomacy.
To a what now? 29?
29.
Very good. So, Ryojin says, "Well, I'm not quite sure about these Raxalites, but this engine sounds very interesting."
Okay. That tracks, yes.
I'll agree to meet them. Bring the ship back. And I'll take it out, and we'll see what this engine's all about.
All right, nice. Sounds good.
Oh, consider this a job well done. Your 2,000 credits is promised.
Thank you.
Please. And she will wire those to you.
Nice. Alexis, blessings upon, and it hangs up.
2,000 credits total or each? That's total?
I believe it's 2,000 credits total, my friend. However, we're going to flash forward. We can flash back if you would like. However, as a result of completing this job by introducing Ryojin and Taraxa, Ryojin will have a breakthrough that will allow her to upgrade your starship, which is about to be done, okay? Mm-hmm. The upgrade will treat your vessel as one size smaller for determining the cost in BP to upgrade your drift engine.
Oh, nice. That's sick. That's really good.
That is wild.
Yes, so... job well done.
You can all get 400 credits.
Thank you.
You can all make your way back, and I believe this is a good spot to give you the old "we'll see ya."
Nice.
Oh, we'll see ya.